Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you presented to us this past Sunday four questions that matter.
Yeah, life is full of questions. It would be interesting to know within just a typical day how many questions we ask or how many questions are asked of us. Some questions are just real simple, like, did you get your homework done today? Or what's for dinner? There are questions in life that there are no real answers to. I mean, what's the best movie of all time? Well, that all depends. Every person's got their own answer. But then there are those grave and serious and important questions that really make us pause and look at ourselves, questions that matter. And that's what this sermon really was about. And our four questions that we proposed was, number one, does it matter if I believe in God? And we looked at that, and whether I like God, believe in God or not, why does it matter? Then we talked about, why does it matter if I follow the Bible? You know, can I just be good in life? And is that good enough? And then we talked about, why does it matter if I become a Christian? Can I just be a nice person? Will that get me into heaven? And then why does it matter if I worship with the right church? And, of course, inherent in that very question is not everybody's doing the right thing. Not everybody's following the Bible. And so within those questions, we try to get us to think about the important things, the things that really matter, the things that will change our life and affect our eternity as we walk with God.
It's easy during a year like this to lose sight of things that really matter. And I appreciated how straightforward those questions were. Also, questions, as you mentioned at the top of the sermon, that really make you think, that make you pause, maybe reevaluate some things that in the past you have taken for granted. I jotted down four follow-up questions, not the same questions that you covered in the sermon, but four follow-up questions, particularly in that section right in the middle of the sermon where you asked, does it matter if we become Christians? And the way that you fleshed that point out, I thought was especially poignant and led me to maybe a few more questions that I thought would be good for us and our listeners to ponder here in the middle of the week. Number one, you mentioned that Jesus is appealing to a number of people, but the idea of commitment, real commitment, well, maybe not so much. There are some who will just be very straightforward in saying, I'm interested in Jesus, but I'm not interested in any sort of a daily religious walk. And so let me just put the question to you plainly. Is it possible to be heaven-bound without commitment?
And really, to be honest with our listeners, the answer is no. Commitment is what Jesus wants us to have and to follow him. And all throughout the Gospels, we read about those who are kind of on the surface, maybe had their big toe in the water, we might say, but they weren't dedicated to the Lord. Luke 14 is one place where Jesus goes through this little list here of who cannot be my disciple. And behind all this is the idea of commitment. He would say in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus has to come first. And what that one passage is talking about is, here I stand at the intersection. My family wants me to do this. Jesus wants me to do that. I've got to make a choice. Commitment says, I have to follow Jesus. And that's difficult. We understand this in relationships. Before the preacher, a young man, a young girl will stand, and they say their vows. And the vows involve commitment, richer or poorer, sickness or health. Those aren't choices. It's like, I'll take the riches and I'll take the health, but I'm going to leave off the other two. You know, it's like going to a restaurant, leave off the onions, but I'm going to take this. No, that's a commitment. That means in good times and bad times, I'm promising to this woman that I'm going to be there. And whether it's sickness and tragedy, I'm going to be there because I'm making this vow or this promise. So that's what's involved with this. God wants us to be followers, not from a distance, but up close, right next to him.
You mentioned Luke 14:26, the very next verse, verse 27, most certainly speaks to commitment. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You gave that classic illustration on Sunday of a pig and a chicken talking about contributing to a bacon and egg sandwich for breakfast. The chicken makes a donation, right? But the pig makes total commitment. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. There's no doubt 2,000 years ago, no one could have heard take up your cross language and doubt that Jesus is demanding commitment.
Yeah, and let's just kind of grab a couple of thoughts from that passage. Of course, you know, in our times today, the cross is not as relevant. The cross is worn as jewelry. We see them on buildings. The equation for us today would be a gas chamber. It would be a lethal injection. It's execution. No one went to the cross and came back. Everyone went to the cross, including Jesus, died. Now, what it says in this passage is, don't carry my cross. Jesus already carried his cross. We are to carry our cross. And our cross is things that we willingly give up. We sacrifice them to Jesus. You know, you made a statement, and I make it all the time, too. And sometimes once I preach a lesson on this, I'm more in tune to this, the idea of total commitment. Mm-hmm. What other kind of commitment is there if it's not total?
Yeah.
I'm committed to Jesus, but it's 50-50. Well, that's not commitment. I'm into Jesus, but Sunday only. Well, that's not commitment. It's all in or not in at all.
Yeah. No wife would be amused by hearing a husband talking about being partially committed to her.
Absolutely. Or, you know, when he's saying his vows, instead of saying I do, he says I might.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't fly. Not at all.
So if it is not possible to be heaven-bound without commitment, let's look at this from a positive point of view. I agree with you that the answer is no. Now, some might hear that and think of commitment purely in negative terms. Okay, so this is going to be a slog and I really don't want to do it. And you're talking about me being miserable for the rest of my life. But it's amazing how when we take God at his word and practice his way not only works, his way is the best way. And so in what ways is commitment a good thing, even good for us?
Well, you know, when we think, you know, again, the thought oftentimes is slavery. You know, I've got this option, either freedom to do whatever I want or being tied down to commitment. When a single guy in his 20s is looking at that, I can date any girl that will say yes to me. What freedom I have. But then he finds the love of his life. And he wants to dedicate his life to her. He understands that commitment in marriage is not a slavery. He doesn't think, oh man, you know, I'm tied down to this one woman. It's when the relationship is healthy and it's the way it's supposed to be, it is the blessing of all blessings. And so it keeps us close to what really matters. Here we're talking about Jesus Christ. It brings a trust factor that Jesus can trust us and we can trust him because we're committed. We're all in. Our heart is dedicated to Jesus. It brings a sense of joy, a sense of assurance and confidence. We can know that we are heaven bound because we're staying so close to the steps of the Savior. He's leading us to heaven and I'm following in his footsteps. And so in that way, commitment is just a great, great thing. You talk to someone who's been a Christian for decades upon decades. Most of them, in fact, if not all of them, would tell you that they never look back and saying, you know, I wasted it. I wish I hadn't become a Christian. I miss being drunk. I miss abusing myself with drugs. No, not at all. In fact, you find some people who come to Christ late in life and they have that regret. I remember talking to some people years ago, and she was in her 60s when she first came to Christ. And she said, I wasted all those years, and I wish I'd been close to Christ then. That's the commitment factor.
Commitment to Christ, no doubt, is good for us. And the Bible has so much to say along those lines. Commitment on a variety of different levels. The more we mature, I think the more we realize how good it is for us. Few things have the ability to unveil deep-seated selfishness more quickly and transparently than getting married, right? There are many benefits to getting married. Just very, very practically, two are better than one, as Ecclesiastes tells us, in a lot of different ways. But being committed in marriage helps us realize at times just how selfish we can be. Having children, parenthood is good for us, not only because of the good that we can hopefully pass along to the next generation, but it gets us thinking in terms of legacy. What really matters? How best can I spend the relatively short amount of time that I have on this earth? Being committed to a local church is good for us. There are certainly benefits that come from being a part of a local church. But again, few things will emphasize to us in practical terms the importance of being a servant than being a member of a local church. We can look at all different areas of life, all really echoes of what it means to have a healthy relationship with Jesus, and we see beyond a shadow of a doubt, commitment is not purely negative. Commitment ought not to be spoken of in terms of slavery, but it's God's way of teaching us some really valuable lessons.
So when we're done today, both Jason and I are here at the church building. When we're done today, I'm going to go home. Now, I can look at that two ways. I have to go home, or I want to go home.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely the opposite, the last one. I want to go home. And that's the way it is with Jesus. You can look at Sunday like, oh, it's Sunday, I got to go to church. Or, I get to go. What a blessing, what an honor that is. And when we read our Bibles, when we read about the life we're supposed to live and the attitude we manifest and all the things that we're engaged in, here's all the rules I got to follow, you know, and just be down, down, down. Or we can think, what a blessing this is. God's helping me out in life, and God's showing me the best way to live. And that commitment will pull the best out of us. That's why the church is looked upon as a family. We are committed to each other. We belong to each other. That's just a powerful, powerful understanding.
It pulls the best out of us, and it also helps to guard against the worst that can trip us up, right? I really appreciated one of your subpoints there under that third question that matters. Does it matter if we become Christians? You emphasized that sin does not evaporate or expire or just go away. Maybe we've got it in our minds, especially when there's some sort of an unpleasant problem or obstacle or difficulty. Well, if I just ignore it, just put it off, somebody else will take care of it, or it will magically disappear. Sin's not like that. So why is it critical that we realize and remember those points?
You know, if we've seen some of the police and court shows on TV, sometimes a guy gets arrested and for a crime years ago, and they'll say, well, the statute of limitations have passed. Mm-hmm. They cannot charge this guy with this, even though he's guilty. And he may even confess to the crime. Too many years have gone by, and it's no longer on the books. Sin doesn't work that way. I may have forgotten my sin. I may have moved on. Maybe I just moved from this place to that place, this place, and got so wrapped up in today, in this life, I just laid them aside, and somehow I think, you know, out of sight, out of mind, they're just going to go. They don't go away. The only thing that takes away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that behooves me to become a Christian, to follow Jesus. Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts 22 and verse 16 to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Revelation 1:5 talks about Jesus Christ, the faithful witness who was born of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us or released us from our sins by his blood. Now, the key question is, where's the blood of Jesus? It's not in the Vatican. It's not in some museum. The blood of Jesus is found as we contact his death in baptism. So now that's not the last step. That's just the first step, but that's necessary. Without that, I die spiritually. Sin kills us. It kills my relationship with God. It kills my chances of going to heaven. And so the idea of walking by faith, the grace of God, and the concept of dealing with my sins is foremost. And that's, again, some things we need to keep before us.
One of the earliest descriptions of it that we have in Genesis chapter 4, as God is reasoning with Cain, it is pictured as this wild animal, right, crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. That implies we certainly can, and especially knowing what we know, having been taught what we have been taught now at this point in history through the Gospels, we know that Jesus is the sin slayer, right? Jesus is the one who can help us conquer. But in order to rule over it, we can't treat it as if it evaporates or expires or just goes away without us being committed.
And let's say this about this so we all understand. Sin is what is declared by God. Okay, I see something I don't like. Let's just say I don't like pickups. I do, but let's just say I don't. And so I can say, you know, because I don't like pickups, whoever drives a pickup is sinning. No. Only God declares what is a sin. And another thing we need to realize, our legislatures, whether it's national or local or within a state, they can make things legal, but that doesn't make it right with God. And if God has declared something wrong, even though the state says it's okay to do that, I give you permission to do this, you will not be arrested to do this, it's still wrong with God if God declares that.
It's all about having Christ-like character. Even in a world maybe that would legalize and celebrate what God says is sinful. Last question that we'll park the episode on for today. We always try and draw these Wednesday episodes to a close with some sort of a practical thing to think about for the rest of the day. I really appreciated, Roger, how you emphasized toward the end of your sermon. Being a Christian is more than being baptized. It is developing the character of Christ. And you took us back to Colossians chapter 3. We don't have to take the time to read the entire chapter, but can you just highlight a few things from Colossians 3 to give us something to think about, reflect on this ordinary Wednesday? What's it going to look like to have the character of Christ?
And what's so beautiful about that Colossians passage, he talks about the way they were, and this is what you got to stop, and here's what you should be, and this is what you got to start. And so just grabbing a couple of the verses, he says in verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. That's the way we are. That's the way we were. But now we become a Christian. We put on the character of Christ. He says in verse 12 then, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And so what we see in those words are attitudes, we see behaviors, we see language. And so it's more than just sitting on the pew on a Sunday morning, that makes me a Christian. My insides hasn't changed, I'm the same I've always been. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you've been rewired, and you're different now. And you're following Jesus now. You made a commitment to Jesus. So you're thinking differently. You're looking at people differently. You have a heart like Jesus would have. And you manifest that in the way you serve, and the way you treat, and the way you talk. Those are just everyday things. And you think about all the interactions you have in a day. All the phone calls, all the texts, all the emails, all the people you see today. You look at them as Jesus would. And boy, that changes everything.
I love how verse 15 of Colossians 3 follows that up with, if you put on the character of Christ, the peace of Christ will rule your heart and mind and open up the door for you to be thankful. No matter what is going on in the world, there's a lot of things about culture that we cannot change. But we can set aside the sin that so easily entangles us, put on the character of Christ, and what we find is peace that opens the door to thanksgiving, no matter what is going on in the world around us. I need that in the middle of an ordinary week, and I'm trusting you do as well.
You know, and one of the key words the Bible uses several places, several times, Peter, for instance, in 1 Peter chapter 1, says, be holy. It's the idea of becoming. The Bible doesn't just say, just once in a while, put on the good hat and be a good boy once in a while. This is something who we are. We have changed. We now have the spirit and the character of Jesus, and what a difference that makes.
Four questions that matter. Four questions that speak to our identity, our purpose, our direction, our worth, what life is all about. If you have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to that sermon, I would certainly encourage you to go back. It is freely available at charlestownroad.org. We're looking forward to, first of all, this evening, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. We are in part four of our Wednesday evening series, Troubles Without, Fears Within. We're going to be talking, Roger, about putting a lid on discouragement.
We would like to put a lid on it and take it to the trash. Discouragement is something that affects all of us, and especially with the times we're in right now, man, it is so easy to be discouraged and complain. And so we want to talk about some ways in which we can put an end to that and how we can get through this negative world without being negative.
We'll be gathering in person at 7 o'clock p.m. If you're not able to join us in person, we would love to have you tune in via live stream at charlestownroad.org or on YouTube or Facebook. We're also looking forward to this Sunday. And Roger, you've got the privilege of preaching Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Five times in the book of Matthew, Jesus would rebuke his disciples for having little faith. Oh, ye of little faith, he would say. The opposite of that expression is the bigness of faith. And so we want to talk about the bigness of faith. What does that look like and how it's manifested throughout our life? And that will be our thoughts on Sunday.
Very good. I, Lord willing, Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m., will be bouncing off of our Bible reading passage for the day. Today's Bible reading is Psalm 21. Sunday's is Psalm 22. Just a rich, rich Old Testament passage that the New Testament draws on, talking about the sacrifice of Jesus, but it extends all the way to who we are today. And so we'll be talking about the silence and salvation of God in Psalm 22 at 5 o'clock on Sunday. If you're planning on joining us at 9:30 a.m. Sunday All that we ask is that you do us the favor of checking in at charlestownroad.org. No need to check in to attend our 5 o'clock p.m., but it would be very helpful if you would check in at charlestownroad.org. Let us know that you're coming so we can make sure that adequate space is available and prepared. We hope that this episode today has given you a little bit more to think about as this week unfolds, pointed you in the direction of the life-changing Jesus. If we will commit ourselves to Him, we have nothing to fear and everything to look forward to. Roger, thanks for joining me today. We're looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.